Welcome back into another wonderful episode of Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined today by an amazing artist. We have the director, David Edwards, joining us to talk about Out of the Box Theater Company's presentation of The Butter and Egg Man. It's playing June 18th and the 20th through the 23rd at the Bernie Wall Center. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting showticksforyou.com and outoftheboxtheater.com. We are so excited to be bringing you not only our guests, but also this wonderful, wonderful piece by one of our favorite playwrights. So let's go ahead and welcome on the expert on this show. David, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you, Matthew. Thanks. Great to be here. I don't know that I'm an expert, but I have had a long history with this particular play. I am not only a director, but an actor. And some 20 years ago, I did a wonderful production of this play at the American Stage Company that was directed by Louis J. Stadlin and had some terrific Broadway actors, Jana Robbins, Kevin Carolyn, Beth McVeigh, and it was always in the back of my mind that when I was asked to take over as artistic director for Out of the Box, that it would make a great selection for my first selection as artistic director, and I wanted to direct it. So I'm very excited that we're getting it on its feet.
Yes, that's amazing. I'm so excited you're here. I'm so excited that you're sharing this wonderful show with us. And I want to start by having you tell us a little bit about what The Butter and Egg Man is about.
Well, it's a love letter to the theater. And it's very typical of the type of show that was written in the 1920s and 30s for Broadway, where everyone was just, the theater was it. That was the way to be famous and to be respected. And it's the kind of play that we don't see anymore, a backstage show that, and this one in particular, I feel, was one of the shows that perhaps spawned a whole line of backstage shows like Light Up the Sky, A Room Service, which I did off Broadway some years back, and even where perhaps Mel Brooks got some ideas for the producers. And so that's another show that I did quite a bit of work on. And so it's kind of in my DNA, and I really wanted this to be my first show under as artistic director of Out of the Box.
That is fantastic. I love that. Love that. Now, you've kind of answered this a little bit about how you landed on choosing this piece, but I would love to know, how is it you originally came upon this piece?
Well, as I say, I didn't know the piece until I was cast in production at American Stage Company, and I fell in love with it then. And actually, I've done not only the producers, but Room Service and Light Up the Sky, and I realized this one came first. It's the only play that George S. Kaufman wrote by himself, and it was kind of gestational in terms of this type of theater. And it has so many delicious characters. And, I wouldn't say that it's a message play by any stretch of the imagination, except that we want people to have fun. It's what we need to do right now is laugh. But I will say that in talking about it with the cast the other day, I realized that it may have a little bit of a message in that it's very easy for well-meaning people to be seduced into taking a route by someone who is perhaps a conniver, a shyster, for their own, for their own growth. And so we can laugh along with these people, and we can see how any number of them, because of their love for the theater, can take a certain route. And that's, we've discussed this in rehearsal too, that every character in this play thinks they know everything there is to know about the theater and offers their opinion. And I think we can, those of us who work in the theater can identify with that.
Yes, absolutely. And listen to that, those characters that you're listing, I'm like, yes, they all exist in the theater. We know exactly who they are. And
Everyone from the waiter in the hotel room in Act Two to our hero, a young man from Chillicothe who has never produced before, but is just so in love with the theater. And so, yeah, it's an ex-vaudevillian. Everybody knows how to fix the play and how to be more successful than the other.
yes, bring all the cooks in the kitchen. That's what we need. Well, I know that we are just under a month away from the show going up, but I'm curious to know, what has it been like developing this piece so far?
Well, Out of the Box has a very unique place in New York pantheon of theater. We revive classic plays, but we first and foremost want to feature the work of artists over the age of 50. So when we choose a play, we choose a play that works that way. And it's not always a play that was originally written for actors of a certain age, but that we can, without changing the play, show how the vitality and talent of actors over 50 can put in a new dimension on a play. Last year we did a production I was very proud of Fallen Angels by Noel Coward. And essentially it's a play about sex. And was very risque for the age that it was originally produced. And instead of having 20 and 30 somethings in the leads, we had 50 and 60-year-olds. And without changing a word of the play, we showed that these people are still vital and romantic and interested in sex. And it was very exciting. No one batted an eye, and it was very well received, and we were all very proud of the show. So.
So wonderful to hear. I love this mission statement, this goal that your company has. It's so wonderful. And I kind of want to build on that. And I want to ask, in regards to the Butter and Egg Man, is there a message or thought you hope audiences take away from this piece?
Well, I think it's one that whenever we do a play at Out of the Box, we certainly want audiences and the theater community to see how vital and still interesting people over a certain age are. I've done a lot of work in musical theater, and unfortunately, you see the interesting roles disappearing at a certain age, and it's a shame because people are certainly just as interesting, if not more so, when they've experienced more of life. And a lot of our audiences for Broadway and musical theater are people over that age, and they want to see themselves represented. So it's amazing how many wonderful people came out to audition for this piece. And we've got several Broadway veterans and people that I've known for years. And also people who have worked with Out of the Box season after season. And it's just a great group of people. One of the actors said to me the other day that he's so delighted to be in this cast and also to be working with this director, which I take very seriously because that means that our process is fun and worthwhile. And no matter what age we're at, we can still grow and still learn and still, there are things that we do better now and that we didn't do that well in our 20s and 30s. So that's to be celebrated and embraced.
That is so wonderful. I love that thought, and I love hearing all of that. Yes. Rounding out this first part, I would love to know, who do you hope have access to this piece?
Well, one of the great things that Out of the Box does is provide a great percentage of our tickets free to senior citizen groups. And there are also a tremendous amount of discounts for other groups. And of course, Actors Equity members are allowed to see their friends or with their equity card. So what we hope is that we will have full houses, and that older people will bring their grandchildren and their children and experience this together. And we do often use actors who are younger, and I maintain that the beautiful experience in not only performing with all ages, but in that rehearsal process, you get to know who the people that came before you, what they've experienced, what they have to share. Sometimes the stories that you hear during breaks in rehearsal are more valuable than the play itself, because you get to know who the survivors in the business, what they did to survive and what you have ahead of you. You know, when you're very young, you think, well, that's not going to happen to me, or I'm just going to shoot straight to the top. And I think very early on, we realized to have a career at all in the theater is remarkable. And we're very fortunate to be able to survive doing what we do. And that careers are made up of a patchwork of different skills. I've been very fortunate that not only do I act, but I direct. And so the more you keep expanding, the more you keep growing. And the minute you stop is when you get old.
Second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I would love to start with our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Well, I tell you, I think I was always an old soul. I always liked the classics, and I was very much in collecting all recordings of musical theater from the time I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And I learned so much about history and culture from reading the liner notes on cast albums. If there was a word I didn't understand, I looked it up. And to me, my golden age of musical theater, when people talk about it being in the 20s or the 30s or the 40s, or mine was in the 60s, when Hal Prince and Stephen Sondheim and Kandra Nebb, Bach and Harnack emerged and gave us the classics that we know today. And so I very much, you know, lionize these people and in a way bemoan the fact that we'll never see the likes of them again. So I one of my most treasured memories was being part of the original production of The Fantastics. In fact, I closed The Fantastics on Sullivan Street. I was the last guy to sing Try to Remember at the Sullivan Street Playhouse. And so it was this wonderful tradition that went on for almost 43 years. And it's one of my most treasured memories that I was there closing night. And just a few feet away from me were Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt and Rita Gardner. And I got to sing that iconic song. And there's a wonderful documentary called Try to Remember the Fantastics that is floating around. It's been shown on TV a few times. And it has a lot of footage from that final performance. It's a night I'll never forget. We didn't make much money off Broadway doing the Fantastics. And I had never imagined when I joined the cast that I would end up being in the final performance. But it was a gift and a very special memory for me.
That is so wonderful. Wow. Well, let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Well, I guess you could say it's never boring, and there's always a future. It's kind of what we were talking about, that old actors never retire. They're always waiting for the next possible opportunity. And as long as we stay creative, there is always a future. We don't retire. And it's always new. We're always reinventing. And, you know, as difficult as it is to go from job to job and have very little security in our business, it is never dull. You never know what's around the next corner. I play this game with myself, usually when I am feeling, I don't know what the next is going to be. If I don't have four or five jobs lined up, I get worried and neurotic, just like the rest of us. But sometimes I sit in there and I say, now, last year, this time, what was I doing? And invariably, I say, well, I didn't know about this, 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 and this opportunity. And they all came to fruition. And conversely, sometimes I say, I thought I was going to be doing this, and that fell through. So it helps to keep an open mind and an outlook that's positive. And no, there's always a surprise around every corner. Don't worry about what you have no control over, like sometimes how much money you have in the bank, but what today is giving you and what joy that is.
I love that. That is amazing. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
Well, that closing night of the Fantastics would have to be right up there. I think the first time that I went on as Max Bialystock and the tour of the producers at the Colonial Theater in Boston was a pretty special evening. But really, so many come to mind. And it's wonderful to have had a career and a life where you think, I forgot about that. And put yourself back in an experience. I think it changes. And this may sound a little cliche, but it goes along with what I was saying. Then the most memorable is, I hope, the next one. So I was taken to the theater very, very young. My grandmother took me to see the original production of The Sound of Music. And I sat in the first row center of the L'Enfantin Theater that I later performed in with the Rothschilds when I was a child actor. And I saw Mary Martin. I think I was 2.5. I don't know who takes a 2.5-year-old to the theater, but I was mesmerized, and I can still see her sitting on the log singing that title song. I was just a few feet away from her. And I don't remember ever wanting to do anything else with my life, but certainly that point, it was solidified. And that may be it. I don't know. But those personal experiences that I've had working in the theater are also very, very special.
Those are some amazing memories. Thank you so much for sharing those. Thank you. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you or your company have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Well, we do a main stage show in the spring, which is what this show is, and one in the fall. And we haven't announced what we're doing in the fall yet. I have some ideas. We're looking at S.N. Berman's biography, which would be another reversal for last year when we had two shows by British playwrights that focused on women's changing roles in the 1920s. Back to back. I'm also thinking of bringing in another showbiz backstage story called June Moon that hasn't been done too many times next season. So these are just two of the titles we're thinking of. And we just very recently had a wonderful one-man show by Larry Marshall called The Black King of Vaudeville. And so we do these one-night shows as well. But yeah, look for a new play in the fall that we're doing. And the other thing that I have proposed to our board, which is a little ways down the pike, but we'd like to open up our mission statement to not only do classic plays, but perhaps do new plays that have roles specifically written for people over a certain age and that are written by writers of a certain age. So we're looking to do some readings of those pieces. I can't tell you how many wonderful plays I got submitted to me by writers that would be appropriate for this sort of thing. And it was very exciting. So we'll see exactly which ones we do. But right now I'm focused on getting this one up. We have a few more weeks, and I hope also that we will be able to expand our runs. But that means building an audience. And I think we're doing very well with this one already with tickets.
Oh, I love to hear that. That's all wonderful. So some great things in the works that we need to keep on top of. And that leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about the Butter and Egg Man or about you, perhaps I'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Well, you can reach all of us through the Out of the Box website. They have a way to, they have a list of all of the board members and the creative people. And certainly a link to buy tickets. It's a very welcoming venue where our show is done. It's an intimate venue and it's very easily accessed through public transportation. And the Bernie Wall Center, Columbus Avenue and 92nd or 93rd Street, I believe it is. So our website has all the information about this show. That's outoftheboxtheater.com. And that theater is the RE version of theater. And also Show Ticks for You, which I believe you've mentioned, is the direct way to get the tickets as well. And I think you'll be seeing some press on the show in the coming weeks too. And Google the show for its history, and you might even come up with the production I did from many years ago. And it's a show that every time I mention it, people in the theater say, "Oh, I love that play, and I did it here or there." And so it has some lovely memories for people who love theater and who have performed the show. And I think it will get some renewed interest in a play that hasn't been done in the city for a while.
Wonderful. Well, David, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak with me and for sharing this wonderful piece. I'm so excited about it. I look forward to getting the chance to see it. And I just thank you so much for your time today.
Well, please say hello when you do come to see it. And I thank you for all you do for the theater community. It was a great pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for that. My guest today has been the amazing director, David Edwards, who spoke to us about Out of the Box Theater Company's presentation of The Butter and Egg Man. It's happening June 18th and 20th through the 23rd at the Bernie Wall Center. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting showticksforyou.com and outoftheboxtheater.com. And of course, that's theater spelt the right way with the R-E. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you come out with us. Join us to see this amazing show. Again, it's The Butter and Egg Man happening June 18th and 20th through 23rd. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.